with you because it'll blend in with what I'd like to say to you this morning, and thankful for this opportunity to be with you. You know, I talked to Pastor Jim earlier, and he's taking a time. It's kind of a sabbatical, but I don't think he's going to get any rest. He's on his way to Christiansburg, Virginia, where he'll be in a very intense time this next week. Am I saying that right, Lisa? I thought I understood that. So, Pastor Lisa, you got the week to take care of everything, but he's going there working on his master's program. He's going to be there for a very intense time of meeting together. He's a lifelong learner. He keeps learning, and I think about where he's at right now in life. Remember that Stretch Armstrong thing he had? I watch him being stretched, but God filling him in a beautiful way. So keep him in prayers this week, and I know God will bless. I thank you, the Lord, for an opportunity to just share with you today. And I pray the Lord will make this so real to your heart, that we can understand God's grace. And this Sunday, I'm going to speak to you about slow motion miracles. And next week, I'm going to talk to you about a season of suddenlies. Now, I like suddenly more than slow. I like it when it just happens. But you see, if you don't go through the slow motion and understand what God's doing by the power of the Holy Spirit, you won't even catch what God's doing. Or you'll just see it, but will never really develop in you what He desires. Listen, if you only see the quick miracles, the reason God moves so slow is because He wants you to grow. There's something that happens in that time that you see the slowness of what's happening, because God wants to keep up with us. He could do anything at any time. But as I share with you today, I pray God will make this real to your heart, and that you can just get that spark in your heart for this time to hear not only what God has said, but what God is saying by the power of the Holy Spirit. Part of what I'm sharing with you today, I just shared with our international board. I was just there a week before last, and they asked me to share in devotional time and speak to them what was on my heart from the Lord. And this is my final meeting. My five-year term came up. I was elected to that position 5 years ago. I said, you let me get a little old for that. I said, I'll be 78 years old by the time we get done with that. Well, snap. And, you know, I tell you, I told Sharon, I think an old man jumped in me. But and I tried to kick him out, but he won't leave. But I want to tell you, it's wonderful to serve the Lord and give what you have in the name of the Lord. Amen. For all of us. And please understand how important that is. We each give what we have, and out of that, God does something great. And that's what I want you to be able to catch the heart of. What I share today is not something that I just want to say. I want us to understand this is a we thing, not a me thing. It's an understanding of what God does by His grace. You know, I love to listen to Francis Chan at times because of the integrity of his heart. And how many of you are familiar at all with Francis Chan when I say that name? You know, 7 years ago, he had a thriving church of 5,000 and just everything going wonderful and growth and everything. But the Holy Spirit really dealt with his heart of the fact that so many times people are just coming to church to celebrate his gift. He's a great communicator, if you've ever listened to him, and a very gifted man. But he said, people coming and celebrating my gift is not what church is about. Church is about celebrating the gifts that God has given all of us. Each one of us have gifts to give. And I pray that when you stand before the Lord one day, your gifts will be worn out. I pray they'll be ragged. I pray the pages have fallen out of the chapters of your life, and that it's well worn. If you get there with stuff that's brand new that He gave to you, then you've missed the opportunity that God had for you and the purpose and plan and what He wanted to minister to you and through you. So dear church, let's be sure that we celebrate the gifts God's put in us. Then we share them with one another, all of us. And what you have to give is something so wonderful. You have something to give I can't. I have something to give you can't. But together, we can get things done to glorify the Lord. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will make that real to your heart. I'm going to share from the scripture in the book of Acts. And when you read the book of Acts, it's the acts of the Holy Spirit working through people just like you and me. And when there's no amen on this book, when there's an amen put on this book, we'll be gone. We're going to be with the Lord. The acts of the Holy Spirit are over. When He's gone, I want to be sure I'm not here. I want to go when He goes. The understanding of that is so important, though, because those acts are happening in our lives today. And I want to share some of those things with you. But Acts chapter 1, looking at verse 4, is where I want to start. Now, next week, for the season of suddenlies, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to reflect on that for just a little bit, too. But Acts chapter 1, it says in verse 4, being assembled together. Now, this is right after the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They'd just seen the saddest day in the history when the Lord was crucified. But listen, between the saddest day and the gladdest day, there's just one day in between. And that's when Jesus went in and he conquered death, hell, and the grave in every way. Because there's that understanding. The difference between Christianity and all the religions of the world is 3 days. Jesus died on Friday, but he rose on Sunday. Any religion in the world will get you to the grave. Only one can get you out. And that's Jesus Christ our Lord. But they assembled themselves together as he had commanded them that they should not part from Jerusalem but wait for the promise of the Father. Don't you love the word wait? How many of you get impatient in the store when you have to wait? How many of you will get out here today and run into a Sunday driver, or you'll be a Sunday driver, and you're just kind of poking along, looking at all the things, you know, and all of a sudden somebody will blast your horn. You know, so somebody put on their honk if you love Jesus. I'd like to say tithe if you love Jesus. Anybody can honk. But you know the reality of waiting on the Lord. If you don't wait on the Lord, you won't be ready for the promise that he wants to bring to pass. Waiting on the Lord, the slow motion miracle that's happening in your life. And listen, it's going on. He that began a good work will complete it to the end. But you have to catch. It's what happens in the middle that matters, that you really catch what the Spirit of God is doing. As you wait on the Lord, as you've heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When he therefore will come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's very important. All together, all in one accord, unity in the body of Christ. They were all together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, it's so important for us to catch the understanding of waiting on the Lord so that when suddenly things begin to happen, we have the growth and maturity to be able to handle that, work with that. You know, when you think about the fact that we can only be young once, I've really tried to fight that, but it hasn't worked. You can only be young once, but you'll be immature all your life. Amen? You really can. You see, sometimes, in the culture we live in today, I see so much immaturity. I see very intelligent people speaking things that make no common sense at all. And I think it's sad. I think so many times we need to realize the grace that God wants to give us in the place that we live. Because even here, the disciples said, now, is this a time you're going to restore Israel? They're thinking political power. They're not thinking about the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to change the whole world. And by the way, there's a little bit of political power division happening in the world today. Were you aware of that? Yeah. There's such a thing going on today because, see, the devil always has to divide so he can conquer. He divides everything he can. He divided one-third of the angels right in the presence of God and caused them to fall. That's where we get demons today. He'd managed to divide them right in the presence of God. That's what kind of enemy we've got. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 24, he said, take heed that no man deceive you. We live in deep, dark deception in our world today. The Bible says, the God of this world has blinded their mind, lest they'd see the glorious gospel and be saved. And God has called you and I to be light in this dark world. And listen, God works the midnight shift. He's the one that'll come in the darkest places in your life and do something that no one else can do. I've listened to Pastor Jim in this series that he's done on Soul Man. And I want to tell you, I took a lot of notes, but sometimes it got down here where I thought, boy, I didn't know that was still in there. And he dug up some things that caused a heavy thing in my heart that I had to deal with because, see, it gets down to integrity. It gets down to character. It gets down to who you are. God really wants you to know you're going to have to cast some things out before you ask to make room for what he wants to do. Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. A lot of times we're casting without asking, and sometimes I would just like to skip over what I need to do in me. I'd like to transmit truth more than just being transformed by truth. And by the way, there's a lot of preaching and a lot of teaching that's just transmitting truth, but it hasn't been transformed in their own life. Listen, as that word works in us, that power of the Holy Spirit that wants to come in so that we're set free. The most dangerous person in the world is a person that's been set free by the Holy Spirit of God, because there are no limits to what God can do when you allow Him to really shine through. But we make those decisions. Pastor John talked last Sunday about freedom is never free. But the understanding, we can have freedom out here, but if you don't have it in here, you're still not free. You know, the understanding, the Apostle Paul spent more time in prison than out of prison once he became a Christian. He was in prison, but the prison never got in him. Joseph's own family put him in the pit. God put him in the palace. He didn't let the pit get in him, but it was a slow-motion miracle. It took 13 years. Abraham didn't get the promised son for 25 years. Think about how many years Noah was busy building the ark. And all of that, talk about a slow-motion miracle. All those years, and how people made fun of him because he's building the boat. It hadn't even rained at that time. And he's out there building the boat. How hard it must have been on his kids. Come on, kids, we're going to work, build the boat today. That's like getting your kid and saying, come on, we're going to go to church today, and God's going to build us up, and we're going to make a difference. It's not just Sunday go to meet and stuff. We're going to be real about this. We're going to live it at home. And kids, you're going to catch us praying at times, and we want you to do the same thing. It's a real deal. It's a slow-motion miracle, though. Sometimes we're just looking for the quick fix. That's the world's way. God wants to move in such a way He matures us to where we can stand in this day and hour and make a difference and know why we're here, understand our purpose. You know, I think as Pastor Jim went through this about the fact that we're a spirit and we have a soul, that's the mind, will, and emotion, and then our body. And I tell you, that old serpent of self was pretty slippery. And I prayed for people. I've seen people delivered of demons in a few minutes or in a relatively short time. But this old serpent of self, you'll be working, getting delivered of self is a lifelong thing. You can't cast self out. You have to discipline self. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I beg you, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The devil is a headhunter. He's always messing with your head to block what's in your heart. Because if that ever gets loose, there's no holding back. That's when you can cast away your fear and you can understand the love of God. And I promise you, when that really gets working, you can't contain it. It's something that flows. Out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. That's something the Spirit of God so wants to do in a dry, barren world today. With all the political stuff we see going on right now, with the G20 meeting over there, I want to tell you, it's not just, that G stands for God. God's doing something to shake His hand, according to the book of Isaiah, where the nations will be gathered unto Him. We're seeing a time that God is going to move in such a way, and please don't get hung up on political things. I'm not left wing, I'm not right wing, I'm for the whole bird. Amen. I want to tell you, I really appreciated, that our president said we worship God, not government. And we need to get back to that. Please understand that. And worship, I love the time we worship here, but worship is a lifestyle that we live out all the time. Listen, when you worship God, you magnify the Lord, maximize. That's what I'm trying to say. You maximize the Lord and you minimize the devil. What I'm saying is, you got a big God, you got a little devil. And if you haven't got a big God, you're going to have a big devil and a little God. And that's not going to work for you. I pray, Holy Spirit, awaken us. Amen? May God awaken us. May this soul man no longer be the control man of our life. That we don't live by our mind, will, and emotions. May we allow that to get in the depth. I encourage you to go back and go over that series. Listen with your heart. It isn't something that will just stir you up with excitement, but it will give you an expectation of what God can and will do in your own soul and set you free for what He wants you to be. That understanding is so important. I want to pray for young people like you, that God can help you, that your heart can be so captured by the love of God that flushes out everything of the flesh and you're set free, because this generation needs you. The older generation needs you. We need to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you ever experience that, get it deep in your heart. Oh, I'll tell you what, if we could see some young people just catch on fire, that fire will ignite, and it'll be something that would light up the world in a way that we need to see. May God grant that. I think about the fact, too, and I shared this with you a little bit. As I said, I just come back from meetings in California, and I'm really rushing to say all of this because those slow motion miracle, I'm going to talk fast today, okay? And don't get too nervous. We actually got out 2:50, and that was a slow motion miracle. I don't have high hopes for this service, though. But I put that up there about Cambodia because when I was there in the meeting, in the board meeting, I was reminded again of the great need. Listen, folks, there's such a miraculous thing there going on. We've got only about 1,600 churches here in America, but we have 100,000 churches on the mission field. And we probably got more than that. That's just what we can count because some of them, and listen, it's not like you think of a church like this. It may be in the back of a motorcycle shop. In Hawaii, 1% of all Hawaii goes to a four-square church. But it may be under a tree. And anyway, where people gather together and the Lord is there and they're worshiping the Lord and they're getting unified, they're beginning to understand the love of God is so great. We can't get hung up on all the little things of self. We need to be able to see who He is and how much He loves us. He's the Lord of the church. He's the one that builds the church. That means He builds people that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. The enemy will assail, but he can't prevail. And as I was there for these meetings, I shared with the board, and part of my message is what I shared with them, of slow motion miracles, what I've seen of the day that we would pray, Lord, could we reach 1 million people a year for Jesus Christ? And we prayed that prayer and kept pressing and pressing and pressing, and now it's grown and developed. This last year, we saw over 2 million people come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Could we give a praise offering? Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And what I want to say to you, dear church, you're part of that. That isn't something that just rejoice about a certain thing that has been done on the mission field. You're part of that. If you didn't have part of the heart of that, it wouldn't happen. And it's all together. We're working to make that happen. There'll be teams that go to Cambodia again this year. Are you going again this year, Pastor Lisa? I thought you were. So you've been there a couple times now? 3 times. And I know, I think Mike has been there like 20 times. Gary and Lynn, I don't know how many times you've been there. You got married there. Well, you celebrated your 50th anniversary there. But you know the reality of all of that. And it takes me back to when we were in Washington, D.C., and our meetings there a few weeks prior. And I didn't get out and see. I spend all my energy just getting into the meetings and get through with everything I need to. And I'm walking down the hall, and as I walk down the hall, I'm going back to get some rest. And I hear this voice behind me. It says, Jim! Jim Machen! Oh. And I turned around, it was Ted Ulbrich. But that's the next thing to heaven for me sometimes. But Ted and I have such deep roots. And it goes back further than when we went to Cambodia. It goes back to when they used the blueprints from our church and built a church in Woodstock and raised that church up. It goes back to a time that Sharon and I stood by his bedside when he was nearly dead and killed in an accident, and God raised him up because of the great plan and purpose he had for him in every way. It goes back to an intervention with his son and seeing God work a miracle there. It goes back in a lot of ways how we relate to one another and how we need the Lord and we need one another. And to get over ourselves and begin to get beyond that so that we can do something that honors the Lord. But as I talked with Ted, he said, now, Jim, you're still on the board. And I said, yes. I said, but this is my final time. And he explained again now that they need farmland and they really need to get more farmland to feed all the kids. And you know the story of Cambodia so well, how he went there, he and his wife, and somebody dropped off 2 orphans. And then they fed them and they got 2 more and 4 more and 8 more and 16 more, just kept multiplying. Now they've had over 10,000 go through the program. They got over 2,500. Can you imagine sitting down and feeding 2,500 every time through the day, what it takes for that? And all they're doing to bring that about, but the beautiful miracle of what God has done has brought a miracle that has touched a nation. It's a slow motion miracle. It's taken 20 years. It's a lot of tears and fears. There's a lot of misery in the midst of this miracle. But I want to tell you, it's a slow miracle, motion miracle that has touched a nation. And now, and this is not Foursquare saying this. This is the studies they make about nation-changing things that are happening. And for the first time since 1935 and 40, where we saw Korea change because of Pastor Paul Youngi Cho's ministry, we see the tipping point of a nation to turn to a Christian nation in Cambodia. And that's by these little kids that are considered a curse. They can't even marry another Cambodian. And those kids are cast out by the relatives, and they take whatever goods they have, and they're sold into any form of slavery. These little kids that are considered a curse are changing the heart of a nation for Jesus Christ because they found out God loves them, and there's people that care about them, people like you. What you've given and what you've done and how you've gone, that makes all the difference. And I want to tell you, it's one of the most amazing miracles you'll ever see. And I think about what part, and Ted told me again, he said, I'm telling you honestly, Jim, per capita, there is no church in the world that has done what your church has done. Be sure and tell them, thank you. And I do say that. I thank you for all you've done, church, and all you're going to be, and for all of you that go and all of you that give. But we are in over 140 nations. We struggle to find out provision for all these different places. It isn't just one place. It's wherever we can see the embrace of God. It's an understanding, and I'll share a little bit of from Wayne Cadero about that this next week. But listen, God is moving by His Spirit. He's begun a good work, and He's going to complete it. But there's going to be a quickening work now because there's so many people lost. There's so many who need to know the Lord. And there's a shaking and an awakening that needs to come to our personal life. And then it'll begin to show in public. And I want to encourage you, dear church, be set and be ready for what God wants to do in you and allow that to shine through. When we begin to see this work in our life, God can really set us free for all He wants us to be. I think as I was going in this meeting, and by the way, this meeting was a little different in my, I tell you about some of my experiences on airplanes because I got long legs and I got arms like orangutan, and so I have a hard time fitting in the plane sometimes, or I'll get resting and then somebody will lean their seat back and that about pops my kneecaps, you know. So I have quite a time of that. But this last time, because it was my last meeting, and the board pays my expenses, and we're required to fly coach. We're very diligent about stewardship. We want to make every cent go that we can. Matter of fact, I want to tell you this. Anything you ever give to missions, every cent goes. Not one cent is lost in administrative costs. You don't know this, but many times you can give to different works that are nonprofit and even for caring for children, but the children may get 25 cents on the dollar or a dime on the dollar at times. There's people that will approach the orphanages like this, and they just use it as a fundraiser for themselves more so than for their kids. But I want to tell you, we made that decision in our board meetings. We'll take and we'll absorb any administrative costs. Every cent goes because we want those kids to know the love of Jesus Christ. So we do that with all of our missions work. But in 140 nations of the world, we're trying to find out the provision for the vision that God has given us in all these different areas. And it's a marvelous thing to see what God's doing, to see how He's reaching out, loving people alive, that over 2 million have come to Christ. But oh, there's 3.1 billion that have no access to the gospel. And God's breaking His heart over those people, and He wants us to understand there's something we can do. We can make a difference. There's areas where we can pray, we can give, and God's grace is going to intervene. I want you to know your prayer really does count. What you give and do really makes a difference. And that's so important for us because sometimes we begin to think, well, who am I? What can I do? And it's so insignificant. But listen, all together, we can see a great thing that God will do. I was going to tell you that the children did something for me because I always fly coach. They did something for me for Father's Day. And they worked together, Pastor Jim and Pastor Lisa, Don, Jeff, you guys all work together. I don't know who else, but see, they pay for coach, but they added enough that I could fly first class. Wow, I want to tell you. I'll spoil you in a hurry. I do want to tell you once before, I was sitting in the bulkhead, and because I got such long legs, I got 1 foot in first class. Because I could reach in there, you know. But that was something. But you know, the Lord had just the right person to sit by me, and they needed, and I talked to him, and I gave him one of my bracelets. I gave all my bracelets away first service about being a man of God, and talked to him and shared. And you know, the Lord just has these set up times where you can talk and share. But coming back, as I was sitting there, I was sitting by a lady, and I started to talk to her and see if I could open a conversation. And she rather rudely cut me off. And I thought, well, okay, I'm going to take a nap. Because it was 3.5 hour flight. And you know the Holy Spirit really rains on your pity parties and ruins them. And I got a little bit of an attitude there. And the Holy Spirit dealt with my heart. Didn't deal with her. It dealt with me. So I couldn't take a nap then. And I said, Holy Spirit, forgive me. And Lord, whatever you would desire that I could speak in. Because see, I really hadn't asked the Holy Spirit about when I sat by her. I just kind of assumed and moved into a conversation. And Holy Spirit, would you just help me to understand what I'm going to do here? And I felt a release. I thought I got to take my nap, but then she turned and started talking to me and just opened the door. And pretty soon she said, you want to pray? We end up holding hands praying. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, that's a little small miracle that sows a seed. Listen, if you don't get the miracle you want, if you don't get what you need, it's a seed that's going to get you there if you'll just be faithful to what God has said. His promise is yea and amen to those that believe. Let it grow, cultivate it, work through that. But watch for every opportunity that God gives you. You may be sowing a seed, you may be watering, but always allow the Holy Spirit to make something real. You know, my library in life is people. I study people all the time. I have a wild time at airports because there's people all over from all the world, and I watch for them for opportunities to get to them. But you know, when I got ready to leave to go back and get a cab to go to the airport, which is almost an hour's drive from where I was at, they allow that we get have a cab, but we get the cheapest one. And I called for them, and the hotel said, we don't have them. They're so cheap, they don't have them there. So I said, okay, get me a cab. And a limousine pulls up. I said, no, I want a cab. And they said, no, this is what we got right now, and it was the same price. And so I ended up riding it didn't have a meter in it or anything, you know. And I mean, I have flown first class. I am now in a sedan, and all this going on. But then I began to talk to the man. And as I began to share with him, I talked to him about Cambodia and why I was there and what we were doing. I talked to him about Cambodia and the kids. And you know, I went for a little while, and then he kind of paused, and I paused. And he said, I was one of those kids. He said, not in Cambodia, in Honduras. He said, when I was 5 years old, I was ripping cardboard boxes apart to lay on the concrete so it wouldn't be so hard on my body. And he said, I watched people, and I looked, and I thought, one day if I work hard, I can be like them. I can have clothes. I can go to a hotel. And that man worked hard. But the biggest thing is he really loved Jesus. And we had church. I didn't want to ride for an hour. I didn't want to leave once we got going. And we prayed together and talked together. I told him I'd pray for him, but don't shut your eyes. But the thing of God's grace, the opportunities he gives, is something we have to watch for. And this old serpent of self gets in the way so many times. And that's why I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to Pastor Jim about the soul man. Let's get the soul man out so the spirit man can live. Let's begin to get beyond what we feel and have real faith. Let's cast out our fear so love can come in and that we're really set free within. That we can understand the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That we get past being negative, because it's very hard for a positive God to work through negative people. He wants to rise up and reveal himself. Listen, we live in a time that would be Isaiah chapter 60. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Darkness has come upon all the earth, and gross darkness upon the people, but the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And listen, that glory shines through. It pierces the darkness. That's why the devil's always trying to punch your lights out. He fears the day that you'll really get free, to no longer listen to what he has to say, but have a clear ear to hear what the Spirit is speaking. And dear church, I'm going to tell you, it's time to arise and let that light shine in your life. Don't be caught with the little things of life that pull you down. Listen, God is too big and life is too short to be locked in the little. We have an amazing God, and that's why we must worship him, have a big God, and put the devil where he belongs, underneath our feet. Amen? Amen. Oh, bless your name, Jesus. God, let that be by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. May you come and make that real in our life. You know, we pressed hard in that meeting about Cambodia. And they need $1.5 million to get more farmland. And Ted said, Jim, what can you do? I said, listen, this is my last meeting. I'm going to press as I can, because somehow Glenn Burris and my voice got connected to lead this, that we would get enough farmland before Ted retires, because he's 70 years old now, and he can't keep on forever what he's doing. We need to get things set in place while he's there. And Mike, you know more about this. Mike Callan serves on the board in all of this and knows about that direction, but I'd like to see that come about. But we pressed hard in that meeting, and here I want to tell you about a slow motion miracle. We've talked about this before, but we didn't get anywhere. We talked about it again. And when we seemed to be able to decide what we couldn't do. Have you ever come to those points in life? You meet and you work and go through all that and you find out what you can't do. And then we begin to have creative thoughts. And I want to tell you, by the end of that meeting, we figured a way to raise $750,000, but it would be matching funds. And I put this, I'm not good on emails. I always leave words out too, so I'm afraid sometimes I'll put something out there really is goofy. But I want to raise $750,000. How are you going to do it? I don't know. We didn't know how in that meeting we were going to do it. But I want to tell you, it's not about $750,000. How are we going to find a way to feed those kids for the future? And that they can keep coming and coming. Not only orphans, but those that are cast out and nobody cares about. Those that have no love at all. Listen, we're seeing the heart of a nation turn to Jesus Christ. And you're part of that. You're also a part, though, of those other 140 nations around the world. But listen, I believe the Holy Spirit, in these slow motion miracles, we're going to see a season of suddenly. And suddenly there's going to be a sound from heaven. And we're going to see things we couldn't see before. We're going to understand what we can do through Christ who strengthens us. We're going to begin to understand how we can play an important part. And then we may not be able to figure it out with the head right away. But you got saved by believing in your heart. And then you confess it with your mouth. The miracle is always here first, then the head. And I do believe we need our head. God said, renew your mind, not remove it. Amen? You got to be careful about that. I preach the ideal, but I deal with the real. And there's an understanding of how God's grace will help us in all of that if we embrace what he has to say and have the courage to obey. Listen, any of us can give our opinions, but opinions are like garbage cans. Everybody's got one, and we do need them. But it's obedience to the things that God has to say. And it may seem small and insignificant. And by the way, when you give, don't ever give your offering first. Give your tithe first. Because, listen, in Leviticus it tells us, the tithe belongs to the Lord. It's holy to the Lord. And it's not because he wants you or needs your money. That's not the deal. And yet it does bring life. There has to be provision for the vision that God gives. But as we give of our tithes and our offerings, listen, that's a deal about trusting the Lord. That's an understanding that God's grace wants to work in our heart and lives that are so important. I think of the fact that I saw a miraculous thing of a man that, and you may be more familiar in the sports world than I am, a man named Derek Carr. Anybody know who that is? Okay, some of our young people do. He signed a record $125 million deal with the Oakland Raiders. $125 million for a 5-year contract. But here's what threw them. And Charisma Magazine brought this out and I picked up on it. What's the first thing he's going to do? This is what they couldn't understand. He's going to tithe. Just like he's always been doing. He's going to tithe. He said, I'm not going to change how I live. We're still going to collect coupons. We're not going to change how we live. We're going to change how we give. because we have more now. And God's trusted us with this. And more people will be blessed and helped and brought hope and brought healing because we're able to give in that way. And I thought how important it is for us to understand that. See, when God is saying, listen, I'll give you 90%. But I just ask, will you trust me with your dime? How many dimes can I trust you with? That's the whole deal, if you understand about that. And then you'll have more to give in offerings. I believe the Holy Spirit of God has blessed this church because we've been faithful about tithing and we had more and more to give into missions in different places. Please understand, this is not a preacher up here trying to grab and get. I don't believe in the prosperity message. I don't believe in the poverty message. I believe in the provision message of what God said. He'll provide all my needs according to His riches and glory. Amen? So keep that clear in your heart. But see, God can open our heart and our mind. And that's what I want to talk to you about next week. Suddenly you begin to see with a creative mind things that you can do, how God will open that door. In that meeting, we didn't think we could raise that much money. But the Holy Spirit came in that room. We got down and humbled our heart and prayed. It wasn't about dollars. It was about deliverance for souls that are lost. I said earlier, there's 3.1 billion people have no access to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we want to be able to reach them. I think, too, of all the things that we can do in ways that God wants to bless us and minister His life and love. He wants us to understand how that power can work in and through in every way so He can reveal His love to all around. Everybody can begin to see there's light that they can change. There's love that will help them, but it might be a slow deal. But it's a real deal, and that's what I want. I want the real thing that God brings by the power of His Holy Spirit, that God can put us in a place that He trusts us for what we're going to do with what He's given to us, the gifts that we have. And God may move slow, as I said earlier, but it's because He wants you to be able to grow by His grace. So when that season of suddenlies come, it's like Noah with the boat. It's hard to build a boat in a storm. And a lot of times that's when we're trying to build them. We're trying how we're going to stay afloat, but you're trying to build the boat in the storm. You can't do that. And you need to obey what God has to say. I always think of Jonah. God said go, he said no, and he had a whale of a problem. Have you ever done that? I believe that we come to those points in life where we just need to obey what God has to say, knowing it will bring about something that glorifies Him. When you talk about a slow motion miracle, I don't think of any greater example then when you come to those points in life that you have an absolute breakdown. And sometimes you have to have a breakdown before you break through. And it's what you do during that time when you seem so broken. It's what you do when you wait on the Lord. It's Isaiah chapter 40, I think verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. And they would put a picture with it. It was a picture of a huge oak tree. And by that oak tree, they would put a little ivy vine. And while that little ivy vine was waiting, it would wrap itself around that tree. It would exchange its weakness for the strength of that tree. And I want to tell you, it's what you do while you wait that makes all the difference. What you get wrapped up in while you're waiting makes all the difference. You can get wrapped up in worry, and it'll be worse. It'll pull you down. You can get wrapped up in worship, and God will give you strength, and you can stand strong. You can see the power of the Holy Spirit begin to intervene and do a marvelous thing. And dear church, I believe with all my heart that God is looking at us and saying, I want you to get wrapped up around the cross tree of Calvary. I want you to see what I've done because of what I'm about to do. I want you to be able to focus on me and the power of the Holy Spirit that can come where you're at, that He can quicken you, that you become a witness to your world personally, people that you can reach. God wants to make that real to your heart. Listen, even if you're at the place where your expector has expired, God wants to resurrect that in your life. Amen? He wants to make it so real to you that you can realize what He wants you to do. And when I said the most difficult miracle probably that you'll see in the Bible is when we come to the point that it's too late, all hope is gone, there's nothing can be done, and you take the picture of Jesus coming and Lazarus is already dead, he's in the tomb, and Lazarus' sister says, Lord, you're too late. What do you do when Jesus is 4 days late? And listen, all I wanted to say is, Where have you laid him? And they took him to the tomb. They took Jesus to the tomb. And he told them to remove the stone from the tomb. And they said, Lord, this is going to stink. I want to tell you something. There's some of you that have some dead dreams. You have some dead ends that you run into that really disappointed you and discouraged you. And you don't even want to go there anymore. And to open up in that arena of your life, you would say, it stinks, I don't want to go there. There's no hope. And Jesus would like to walk with you to that place. And he would like you to remove the stone, the hard thing, that blocks your view of what Jesus can do. He'd like you to be able to take a look at that. And it can be something so buried, so deep in your heart, that your mind doesn't even hardly comprehend. But Jesus would like to take a walk with you. And see, this is where the soul man comes in. He wants to dig so deep that you understand what it is to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. A depth of digging down deeper with his love, deeper than any hurt that's ever happened in your heart. Jesus wants to go there. And you might feel totally hopeless and even not even want to remember. But the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to my heart to tell you, walk there with Jesus. Remove the stone, the hardness of what happened. And let Jesus speak. He said, come forth, Lazarus. Had he not called him by name, the whole cemetery would have come forth. But listen, he wants to get specific. He wants to come to those places in life where you've lost hope, where your slow motion miracles stopped, and you don't even have an expectation of anything coming out of this. That's where God can get the most glory. I want to tell you, there's a marvelous thing God can do. It's not magical. It comes out of obedience to believing in God. It's the big God, the small devil, and it's a self in between that's making choices. I want to encourage you, please hear my heart when I say that, because God wants to do some marvelous things. He wants to open the door of the church of the open door even further than it's ever been. And there's so many things I'd love to be able to say of the history of that. But I pray most of all that you can understand the goodness, the grace of God, and be able to see what he's doing in this day and this hour. I'm going to conclude, I think, in a little bit. that really doesn't mean much in preacher's talk, does it? Maybe if I take a little drink, I can get it said quicker, okay? I've been in the book of Isaiah, and Isaiah was a very good man, a godly man. But in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah suddenly says, I see the Lord high and lifted up. He saw God as he never saw him before. And when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, as he looked up, all of a sudden he looked in. And he said, whoa, it's me. This is the soul man he got after. And I encourage you to go back and go through that series. It may not excite you, but I tell you what, it'll let you experience some things that makes room for what God wants to do by the power of his Spirit. I promise you that. But he looked in his own heart, and he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. Does that mean he went around with a potty mouth? No, but I will tell you what came out of his mouth was not bringing life. It was speaking just like the rest of the world. He didn't understand. He understood some of the power of the Word of God, but he understood the power of his own words. And life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so many times we're speaking things in a way that we're like the children of Israel of old. It wasn't the giants that kept them out of the promise of God, the promised land. But it was their own tongue. They were hung by their own tongue. And listen, it's not just what we say in conversation to one another. It's the tent talk, how we talk, how we think. The real soul man, what's real in us. There's so many things. Listen, it's very hard to live a Christ-centered life in such a selfie world. People take 93 million selfies a day. People are so self-conscious. Listen, let's get beyond self and become God-conscious. Amen. It's so important to understand that. But he sees the Lord. And it says that a seraphim took a hot coal from the altar of heaven. And he brought that coal down and he touched his lips. And I tell you in the name of the Lord, The Holy Spirit wants to come. And that burning one, that's what a seraphim is. That burning one wants to take a hot coal and bring it to your lips, because if he can purify the words that come out of your mouth, you'll bring life in the world that you live in. All of a sudden, people will hear your words in a different way. That slow motion miracle will be connected and welded to the word of the living God, and it'll come alive in your heart. I pray, Holy Spirit, make that real for everyone. May we become conscious that our mouth is a mirror of our life. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. That comes out of your mouth. Are you going to magnify the Lord, or are you going to magnify all the problems? Are you going to magnify what's wrong, or are you going to be able to do what's right in his sight? The Holy Spirit so wants to awaken our hearts, because once he touched Isaiah's lips, then the Lord said, whom shall I send? And he said, Lord, send me. And it says that he sent him, and not one word fell to the ground that Isaiah spoke. And listen, church, the only hope of this world, you're the proof, the truth, that God's real in this world today. And your responsibility and my responsibility is to live as sons and daughters of the Most High God and be not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just be transmitting truth, as I said earlier, but being transformed by it. God, come in. When you feel like you're not spiritual at all, he hasn't changed a lick. I want to tell you, in those times, and you may not have heard from the Lord for a long time, he trusts you, you won't do anything different than from the last time you heard him. God really, really loves you. He really loves you. And that love wants to penetrate. Listen, sin is not breaking the law of God. Sin breaks the heart of God. And the devil knows that. And God sets us free from that sin, like the song that we sang. The chains are broken. Amen. So set your heart. I want to ask you for this next week. I don't know if I can get this miracle to happen in 1 minute here. So, this next week, would you ask the Holy Spirit, just like I was sitting by that lady, and I said, Holy Spirit, help me. And he did. And he opened the door. Would you ask the Lord to help you see the slow motion miracle that's going on in your life? Would you ask the Lord to help him help you see the miracle of people in your world? Would you ask the Holy Spirit to show you the slow motion miracle of what you've been doing that's so good in his sight? And would you ask him for a slow motion miracle to reveal places that he wants to deal with things in your heart, because it breaks his heart, because it's going to hurt you, and he loves you? And then I want you to set your heart and be ready for a season of suddenlies. Amen? God, by the Holy Spirit, suddenly there's a sound from heaven, and that's what we need to hear. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what this world needs, and that's the only hope of our world. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, your kingdom come, your will be done, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I speak blessing that will fall upon every heart. And Lord, may in these next days be a time that we make room, that we cast all our care on you, knowing you care for us. But we're going to make room by casting that out for what you want to bring in, Lord God, so you can be glorified. Deliver us, Lord God, from being selfish. Deliver us from pride. Deliver us from arrogance. Deliver us, Lord God, from feeling, Lord God, that we're worthless. God, help us to understand the price you paid. And Holy Spirit, I pray that suddenly there'll be that sound, and there'll be a quickening work that happens in our heart. A quickening work, Lord God, that allows us to understand that soon you're going to return. And Lord, I pray in that glorious day that we'll be able to say, Lord, I gave it all. I gave everything I had. So, Lord, I gave like you've given. And Lord, you became what you loved. You became a man. And Lord, I want to give what I am so that I can become like you, Lord. So I pray that upon each heart here today in the name of Christ our Lord. As we're concluding, I want to ask, is there anyone here today, and you say, Pastor, my heart's not right in his sight, and I want to get that straight. And if you're here, just slip your hand up. I'm just going to acknowledge your hand and your heart just very quickly. But if you're here and you say, I really need to get something correct and perfected in my own heart, if that's you, just slip your hand up. God bless you, my sister. He sees your heart. He sees your heart. God bless you. Are there others? Yes, God bless you, son. Are there others more? Yeah. Lord, I pray that as we wait on you this week, we'll hear what you say and have the courage to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? I tell you what, you guys are just the greatest, and I'm so thankful for a time just to share with you. Please remember Pastor Jim as he's there in Christianburg this week. That's a really oppressed time. Pray for Pastor Lisa that she can keep up with everything that's going on. But most of all, please this week, take time to wait on the Lord and really ask him to show you what's going on here. This is a woe is me. Woe, stop. So when we start, we'll be able to get to where God wants us to be. Amen. Why don't you hug about a dozen people and we'll go on our way. God bless you.